Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the White House blacklists 8 Chinese tech companies.
Samsung earnings top estimates on stronger smartphone demand.
Hong Kong Exchanges calls off its bid for London Stock Exchange Group.
And Wall Street awaits word from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
President Trump says the U.S. has done enough amid warnings about pulling troops out of Syria. Plus, a key figure in the impeachment probe will testify on Capitol Hill. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees have advanced to the American League Championship Series. They finished a sweep of the Twins. Three other teams stayed alive: Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And U.S. futures are lower to start the day, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 93, NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%, the CAC in Paris down 0.6%, and the FTSE 100 that'll change down less than 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.53%, yield on the 2-year 1.44%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 7 cents at $52.68 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1% up $2.20 at $15.06.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0988 against the dollar, and the yen is at 107.07. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest in U.S.-China relations, with the White House placing 8 Chinese tech companies on a blacklist. The move comes just days before trade negotiations resume in Washington. We get more now from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
So these are major companies, and they've been hit by the U.S. Commerce Department with these blacklisting because the U.S. says that they are part of the problem in terms of the mass detention of minority Muslim people in an area of China called Xinjiang. Now, according to the United Nations, around 1 million people are held in what people call re-education camps. Others have called them concentration camps. And what the US is saying essentially is that these companies have been complicit in the build out of these camps in terms of the surveillance, but also the broader surveillance structure that's been put to play in this region to try to control that population. So these are not small companies, and this is a new front now in terms of how the US is trying to pressure China.
And China says stay tuned for retaliatory measures in response to the blacklist. No word yet on what form that retaliation may take.
The blacklist did little to dampen sentiment in Asia today, with stocks jumping the most in nearly a month. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Chinese equities gained after resuming trade for the first time in a week. And despite a weaker than expected services PMI read, the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong also rose after resuming trade following Monday's public holiday and another weekend of protests. In Seoul, Samsung's better than expected preliminary third quarter numbers lifted the Kospi, while in Tokyo, a weaker yen saw the Nikkei 225 close higher by 1% to 21,587 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Those shares of Samsung rose 2.5% after strong smartphone demand offset price declines in memory chips. Mark Newman is senior research analyst at Sanford Bernstein.
Handsets is doing quite well. Semiconductors also some signs of improvement. Memory prices are still falling, but we are seeing recovery in demand. That's what's most important for this stock, is the turnaround in memory prices. We're already starting to see the early signs of that starting now.
Operating profit for Samsung came in above estimates, but is still down more than 50% from a year earlier.
Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing is dropping its bid for London Stock Exchange Group. Instead, Hong Kong Exchanges will build its business in Asia, and LSE will focus on its acquisition of Refinitiv. Bloomberg's Manuel Baigori reports from Hong Kong.
For LSE, clearly, they want to close their deal to buy Refinitiv, the data provider, so that's on track. And for Hong Kong Stock Exchange, they will have to figure out what they want to be in the future, what they want to buy. Clearly, they have a lot of firepower to do something big if they want, but these deals in exchanges are so rare that they may have to think outside the box and look for more niche opportunities, something more specific.
Shares of Hong Kong exchanges are up 2%, while LSE is down 6%. We should mention Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio, competes with Refinitiv in providing data and information to the financial industry.
In the UK, the pound is weaker this morning following the latest rhetoric on Brexit. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with details. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The account of a call this morning between Boris Johnson and the German Chancellor, with him telling Angela Merkel a Brexit deal is essentially impossible if the EU demands Northern Ireland should stay in the bloc's customs union, backs up the impression that Johnson's plan isn't going anywhere, and perhaps it was never meant to. A long text apparently sent by a Downing Street insider to the Spectator magazine suggests the Prime Minister's team is expecting to be forced into asking for an extension and then fighting an election in the fall on a clear platform of going all out for a no-deal Brexit. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Back here in the U.S., it's all about the Federal Reserve today as Chairman Jerome Powell delivers remarks at a conference in Denver. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is there and brings us this report.
A majority of those attending the National Association for Business Economics conference see the Fed remaining on hold for the rest of the year. Markets, however, have priced in a rate cut at the October 30th meeting. Chairman Powell's speech may settle the debate, at least for this month. There are plenty of signs the economy is slowing, but little evidence of a recession ahead. Fed officials have been consistent in saying they're watching the data, but in this cycle, the central bank hasn't pushed back on market pricing. This may be Chairman Powell's last chance. In Denver, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Mike, thank you. Chairman Powell delivers those remarks at 2:30 Wall Street time, followed by a Q&A session. We'll bring it to you live on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And we have some upbeat economic data out of Germany, where industrial production unexpectedly rebounded in August. Output rose 0.3% from July, despite a big drop in energy. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is warning there will be big trouble if any American personnel in Syria are injured as Turkey prepares to mount an operation against Kurdish fighters. But Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports Trump appears committed to withdrawing U.S. troops even in the face of strong opposition from fellow Republicans.
The president says he's trying to fulfill his pledge to bring American forces home, and these troops in Syria were only supposed to be there a short time.
Just a tiny spot, like a 30 to 90 day period.
But that, he says, was many years ago.
It's time.
Trump dismissed the suggestion he's siding with Turkey over American allied Kurds who fought alongside U.S. forces to defeat the Islamic Republic. He said Turkey and the Kurds have been fighting for hundreds of years and declared, I'm not siding with anybody. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, will be deposed today on Capitol Hill. Sondland has become a key figure in the Trump impeachment probe. Two more parents face sentencing today in the college admissions cheating scandal. Gregory and Marcia Abbott say they made a terrible mistake when they agreed to pay $125,000 to have a proctor correct their daughter's answers on SAT exams to help her get into Duke. Meanwhile, the U.S. attorney in the case is Andrew Lulling, was asked by ABC why prosecutors only asked for a month of jail time for actress Felicity Huffman.
There's a few things working in her favor. She took responsibility almost immediately. She was contrite, did not try to minimize her conduct. I think she handled it in a very classy way.
Huffman received a 14-day sentence. Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam said her government could handle growing violence but did not rule out seeking China's help.
If the situation becomes so bad, then no options could be ruled out.
Lam condemned the weekend violence. China State TV has halted NBA broadcasts for the exhibition season. It comes after the GM of the Houston Rockets tweeted support for Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says values of equality, respect, and freedom of expression have long defined the NBA and will continue to do so. Silver went on to say, it's inevitable that people around the world, including from the U.S. and China, will have different viewpoints over different issues. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, plenty of Yankee heroes last night as they finished off the Twins with a 5-1 win in Minnesota. None more so than Gleyber Torres. He homered in the second inning. He doubled and scored in the seventh. He doubled and scored in the ninth. And he was part of a defensive gem with two outs and two on in the fifth inning. Shifted into the hole, a sliding snag of a grounder, and DJ LeMahieu picked up the short hop throw. Torres and the Yankees sweep the series, move on to the ALCS.
Happy we won that series. I mean, we compete all season long. We know we got too many injuries, too many bad teams, but we focus. I mean, we compete every time, and now we got everybody healthy. So Seve is healthy, all the pitchers healthy, and hitters too. So that is the time to enjoy, play really good baseball like that, and try to win games.
And you mentioned Luis Severino, four scoreless innings, but he had to work out of bases-loaded jams in both the second and third. In the second inning, the Twins had three on and nobody out and couldn't score. Minnesota's now lost 16 consecutive postseason games. 13 of those have been versus the Yankees. Tampa Bay stayed alive, 10-3 over Houston, so they've got game four tonight. Justin Verlander starts for the Astros on short rest. Both NLDS go into a decisive game five tomorrow. St. Louis topped Atlanta 5-4, 10 innings. Cards tied the game in the eighth. Washington down the Dodgers 6-1. Ryan Zimmerman, been with the Nats for 15 years. He had the big hit, a three-run homer. A Monday night blowout, 49ers over the Browns 31-3. San Francisco's 4-0. Giants will be without top wideout Sterling Shepard Thursday. New England is in concussion protocol. First preseason game for the Knicks. They beat the Wizards. The rookie R.J. Barrett scored 17. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. U.S. Women's World Cup winners Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe say they would be paid more than three times as much for their achievements if they were men. They're firing back at the U.S. Soccer Federation, which argued last week that they couldn't represent other female players in a lawsuit over unequal pay because they earn more than the highest paid players on the men's team. Morgan and Rapinoe argue they played more games and won two World Cups while the men's team didn't even qualify. This is Bloomberg. Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. U.S. small business sentiment falling to near the lowest level of Donald Trump's presidency as tariffs and economic uncertainty increasingly weigh on the outlook for owners across the country. The National Federation of Independent Businesses Optimism Index declined 1.3 points to 101.8 in September. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning alongside European shares, the pound extending its decline after Boris Johnson told German Chancellor Angela Merkel a Brexit deal is essentially impossible if the EU demands Northern Ireland should stay in the bloc's customs union. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The British pound is now at 1.2239 against the dollar, the euro at 1.0993, and the yen 106.94. S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 164, NASDAQ futures down 45. DAX in Germany is down 1% now, extending its declines. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.52%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.43%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 31 cents at $52.44 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.80 to $15.08.30 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republicans and Democrats are accusing President Donald Trump of sacrificing an ally and undermining American credibility by abandoning Kurdish fighters in Syria. The president says he's keeping a campaign promise to withdraw U.S. troops from what he calls endless war in the Middle East. China State TV has canceled airing the NBA's exhibition games after a backlash from a tweet by the Houston Rockets GM for supporting Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said the league will protect NBA employees' right to free speech regardless of the consequences. In baseball, the Yankees swept the Twins in their ALDS to advance. The Nationals beat the Dodgers 6-1 to force a deciding Game 5 in their NLDS. Monday Night Football, the 49ers clobbered the Browns 31-3. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just about 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty. This afternoon, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell speaks to the National Association for Business Economics at their annual meeting in Denver. Bloomberg Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee is there and joins us now dark and early with a preview. Markets are certainly looking for rate certainty from the Fed chairman. Are they likely to get it at the end of the NAB, Mike?
You know, it's an interesting question, Nathan, because the markets have generally led the Fed in this cycle. We've seen the last two Fed meetings preceded by the markets all but pricing in a rate cut and the Fed having to ratify what the markets are telling them rather than making a necessarily independent decision. Now, Fed officials would argue that they were making the cuts because they saw the same things as investors. But right now the call's a little bit harder because the economy, as the Fed keeps insisting, even Jay Powell on Friday, that we're doing well when you consider we have 3.5% unemployment. It is hard to make the case that the economy is falling off a cliff. On the other hand, with the markets pricing in a Fed rate cut, he's going to have to either push back today or a rate cut becomes a certainty.
So how do you expect that pushback potentially to happen? I mean, we did get that solid jobs report Friday, but we also had those very weak ISMs for manufacturing and services.
It's tricky. If he does want to slow down the market train, he's going to have to make a distinction between those different indicators and also suggest that the Fed is keeping its options open and wants to see more data in a way that won't panic the markets. Because if they think that the Fed doesn't see what they see and Jay Powell is willing to ignore the signs that the market sees, then we could see a big sell-off and disappointment. We've seen that happen before. We saw it back in December. So he's got a tough job if he wants to push back. The problem is, does he really want to say, no, we're going to cut rates? Is he ready to do that?
And is he going to have to provide some kind of cohesive message given some of the divergence that we've started to see from various members of the committee? I mean, the hawks are getting louder and some of the doves are getting louder as well.
I think he probably avoids that at this point. What we've seen is the people who voted a certain way are still voting the same way. There hasn't been any significant break with someone switching sides. We have seen both Eric Rosengren and Esther George, who dissented in favor of no change at the last two meetings, say they would be open to change if the situation deteriorated, but both said over the weekend that the situation hasn't deteriorated. So it doesn't look like anybody's ready to switch their vote, which still leaves with a comfortable majority for a rate cut.
And are you expecting that we could get some kind of clarity in terms not just of what we could see from the Fed at the end of this month, but the rate path for the rest of the year?
No, I think in that case, Jay Powell would be very much in favor of pushing back against the markets and saying, you know, give us a meeting-by-meeting opportunity to assess what the data are going to tell us. The next Fed meeting after October 30th is mid-December, and we would have the October payroll reports 1st of November and the November payroll reports 1st of December before we got to that meeting. So there would be a lot more information for them to digest. So he doesn't want to, at this point, make any prejudgments. And, of course, hanging over all of this is the trade wars, and that might be one reason why he sort of tries to leave his options open. What if the trade talks this week produce some sort of momentum, and what if the president lifts some tariffs as a goodwill gesture, something like that, and then the economy isn't as threatened. He's got to take that into account. We may actually, Nathan, hear him in a very mild way complain that the trade wars are not doing the American economy any good.
And we'll be listening very closely, again, beginning at 2:30 p.m. Wall Street time, as Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell addresses the close of the NABE in Denver, followed by the Q&A session. We will have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee with us this morning from Denver. Thank you so much for that preview. Futures pointing lower ahead of the open on Wall Street this morning. This is Bloomberg. And for breaking news, wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media with live video coverage and hourly updated top news verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower this morning as investors digest the latest developments on trade. This morning, China signaled it would retaliate after the White House blacklisted eight Chinese companies over alleged human rights violations. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
These are high-profile tech superstars in China, and four of the eight are actually already publicly traded. You have Hikvision and Dahua, which are in the video surveillance business, and they actually amount to as much as a third of the global market for video surveillance, and their cameras are all around the world, including in the United States. Then you have SenseTime, which is considered to be the world's most valuable artificial intelligence startup, last valued at $7.5 billion.
And the blacklisting of those companies comes just days before trade negotiations are set to resume in Washington. No word yet on what form retaliation from China may take.
And investors will also be following Fed Chairman Jerome Powell when he speaks at the National Association for Business Economics Conference in Denver today. We'll bring you his remarks live on Bloomberg Radio and Television beginning at 2:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Ahead of that, the Labor Department issues its first inflation report of the week, the Producer Price Index. Economists forecast an increase of 0.1% in September.
In Europe, a jump in manufacturing fueled a surprise improvement in German industrial production. Following 2 months of decline, output rose 0.3% from July.
The pound is weaker after the latest rhetoric on Brexit. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson told German Chancellor Angela Merkel a deal is essentially impossible if the EU demands Northern Ireland stay in the bloc's customs union.
Shares of London Stock Exchange Group are down 5% after takeover talks broke down. We get details from Bloomberg's Joe Easton in London.
The Hong Kong Exchange has dropped its £29.6 billion bid for the London Stock Exchange. This is basically because the LSE was unwilling to engage with Hong Kong over the deal. The new CEO of LSE, David Schwimmer, wasn't interested in taking negotiations further.
And LSE will now focus on its acquisition of Refinitiv. And we should mention Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio, competes with Refinitiv in providing data and information to the financial industry.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are down 14 points. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures down 39. The 10-year Treasury up 7/30 seconds, yield 1.53%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.43%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 26 cents at $52.49 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.80 at $15.08.20 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump says he's removing troops from Syria. The move threatens to split some of his strongest supporters. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says it's just plainly time.
But once we captured ISIS, I don't want to stay there for the next 40 years. Not going to do anything. The end game is going to be the same.
But some of his strongest supporters, Mitch McConnell, Nikki Haley, and Lindsey Graham, say the move is scary to the core.
This impulsive decision by the president has undone all the gains we've made, thrown the region into further chaos. Iran is licking their chops. And if I'm an ISIS fighter, I've got a second lease on life.
After seeing the uproar among friends, the president did backtrack a bit and threatened Turkey with total economic obliteration if it comes in to Syria. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Three House committees are expected to hear from more witnesses this week in the impeachment inquiry of President Trump. A deposition is set for today for the U.S. ambassador to the European Union. Gordon Sondland came under scrutiny last week after the former special envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, turned over text messages that appeared to show Sondland seeking to encourage Ukrainian officials to agree to the deliverable. Great Britain is calling for the wife of a U.S. diplomat to be returned to the U.K. Police say she was driving on the wrong side of the road in the U.K. when she struck and killed 19-year-old motorcyclists. The American woman then left Britain under diplomatic immunity. China's state broadcaster CCTV said today that it would halt broadcasts of exhibition NBA games as backlash intensified against the league. Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, tweeted support for Hong Kong's ongoing protest movement. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says values of equality, respect, and freedom of expression have long defined the NBA and will continue to do so.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees.
Silver, in a statement, says this is far more than growing our business. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, four teams had chances to clinch the division series advance to the LCS. Only one did it. The Yankees with a 5-1 win at Minnesota. So another sweep of the Twins. They've beaten them 13 consecutive times in the postseason. Aaron Boone in the locker room celebration.
The way we played tonight was championship caliber baseball. I mean, you know, we scored five runs. It was tough for us a little bit offensively, but obviously putting up five runs is a good night, because I thought Minnesota brought it tonight. But our guys, time and time again, were able to foil something with a great defensive play or a big-time pitch, and just really proud of that effort.
Twins had chances. They left 11 on. Had the bases loaded, nobody out in the second inning. Couldn't score off Luis Severino. They left him loaded again in the third, left two on in the fifth thanks to a defensive gem by Gleyber Torres, who at the plate had a homer, two doubles, and scored three times. Twins killer D.D. Gregorius had two run scoring hits and a diving catch in the ninth inning. Cameron Maben hit a home run. Severino worked the first four innings. The bullpen pitched the last five. Game one of the ALCS is Saturday in New York if Tampa Bay can come back on the Astros. Otherwise, in Houston, who lost yesterday but still up 2-1, and the Astros have Justin Verlander going tonight. Max Scherzer and Washington beat the Dodgers 6-1. They'll have a decisive game five tomorrow night in L.A. What a series it's been. Braves and Cardinals, late inning comebacks in three of the four games. St. Louis won 5-4 in 10 on a Yadier Molina sack fly. His hit in the eighth inning tied the game. The 49ers, who won four games last season, are 4-0 this year. First time since 1990, they blew out the Browns 31-3. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Last week, the World Trade Organization gave the U.S. the go-ahead to impose tariffs on as much as $7.5 billion in European exports, including planes, aircraft parts, and luxury goods. Unless the U.S. exercises some restraint, both sides are headed for a costly escalation. The dispute dates back to 2004, when the U.S. brought a case at the WTO accusing Airbus of benefiting from illegal state aid. Europe launched a similar complaint against Boeing. The two sides have been trading claims and counterclaims ever since. Last week's decision might seem like a victory for the U.S., but there's not much to celebrate. Imposing such tariffs will raise prices for U.S. consumers and act as a drag on the economy. Trade disputes are already slowing global growth. With fears of recession rising, the last thing the world needs is another costly trade war. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go
on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
India is a nation of about 150 million drivers and one of the world's most polluted countries. This summer, Hyundai Motor Company rode into India with a possible solution, its battery-powered SUV.
Drive into the future, unleashing India's first all-electric SUV, Kona Electric.
A few months later, Hyundai finds itself on a lonesome road. In a market of tens of millions of drivers, only 130 Konas were sold to dealers through August. Even with committed government support, one auto executive says affordability of EVs in India is just not there. The average worker earns roughly the equivalent of $2,000 a year, and the Kona sells for about $35,000, while the best-selling gas guzzler costs $4,000. Kona's sticker price is just the start. Banks are reluctant to finance purchases, and there's also the lack of charging infrastructure. So the world's fourth largest auto market has vast potential, but some serious hills to climb. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Now let's take a look at some of the most active stocks in early trading now. Shares of Boeing are down 2%. That's after the Union for Southwest Airlines pilots sued the company over the 737 MAX, accusing Boeing of withholding key information about a feature linked to two fatal crashes. Shares of Ambarella are lower by almost 11%. One of the semiconductor company's customers was added to that U.S. blacklist of Chinese firms. That's sparking concerns about Ambarella's business. Shares of Nektar Therapeutics are lower by 6%. The company was downgraded to sell at Goldman Sachs. And those are just a few of the movers in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg customers can check out the early equity action by typing most U4GO on the terminal. As for the broader market, it is deepening losses. S&P futures are lower by 16 points now. Dow futures down 156 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 42 points. This is Bloomberg. It's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump sends a mixed foreign policy message as impeachment pressure builds. We check in with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure as the U.S. blacklisted eight Chinese tech firms. Dow futures down 175 points, S&P's drop 18, and NASDAQ futures decline by 47. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.53%. Gold is up 9. Oil is fading, while European markets are also under pressure, led by 1% losses in Italy, Spain, and Germany. And note that Boris Johnson told Merkel a Brexit deal is essentially impossible. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index. And in other news, the Financial Times reported that the U.S. is mulling aid to Nokia and Ericsson in the Huawei fight. In deal news, the Hong Kong Stock Exchange dropped its bid for the London Stock Exchange, and Celanese is said to consider a breakup in a strategic review. Wrapping things up, Microsoft was upgraded to buy at Jefferies, Ally Financial downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and ServiceMaster upgraded to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And we're watching this headline crossing the Bloomberg as well. A new Nissan CEO, Makoto Uchida, and a new COO as well, Ashwani Gupta. So some changes over at Nissan. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says the impeachment inquiry is underway by House Democrats is a scam that's making it harder for him to do his job. House committees expect to hear from more witnesses this week with a deposition set for today for the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland. China's state TV has canceled airing the NBA's exhibition games after a backlash from a tweet by the Houston Rockets GM for supporting Hong Kong's pro-democracy protesters. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says values of equality, respect, and freedom of expressions have long defined the NBA and will continue to do so. In Monday Night Football, the 49ers clobbered the Browns 31-3. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, I hear Yankees fans now, you buried the lead, newsman.
Here
the Yankees
comes.
Beat the Twins 5-1 last night for a three-game sweep and a ticket to the AL Championship Series. New York has owned Minnesota in the postseason with 13 wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals playing tough against the Dodgers, winning 6-1 to tie their best of five at two games apiece. Nathan, the Cardinals and Braves will also be playing a deciding fifth game after St. Louis beat Atlanta 5-4 in extra innings.
Yeah, we got a lot of late nights ahead, Michael Barr.
Yes, we do.
I feel a little tickle in my throat on Thursday morning. I don't know about you.
I feel it coming to Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, and my nose.
You can make it through. Don't worry.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. I can see Colin now, my boss. You're going to be in there. This is Bloomberg.
We got your back, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Besides the Nationals powering through, some of the other top stories in the nation's capital include the U.S. blacklisting eight Chinese tech firms ahead of another round of trade talks. U.S. Ambassador to the European Union Gordon Sondland due to testify in the impeachment inquiry. And President Trump winning a delay in a federal judge's order to hand over years of tax returns to the district attorney in Manhattan. Also making news this morning, President Trump's confusing policy shift when it comes to U.S. troops in northern Syria. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. Of course, the president drew harsh criticism from his own party, some of his closest allies, over that decision to get out of Turkey's way. What do we know about how this decision came about and whether anything really has changed with the U.S. posture in that part of the world?
Well, given that the administration did some background briefings for reporters yesterday after the White House's announcement and some of what was said in the background briefings, i.e., the briefings seemed to minimize the impact of or try to minimize the impact of the policy change that the White House had announced Sunday night, and also seemed to potentially, you know, along with Trump's rhetoric during the day, pull back a little bit from that decision. It seems as though, I mean, this is just a deduction on my part, but it seems that we could deduce potentially that that Trump went out on his own a bit here to make this announcement, perhaps not consulting widely with a large group of aides about the broader foreign policy implications and the potential for Republican backlash. We know he's done that in the past, and so it seems likely that was the framework again.
So given how this has been done in the past, where do you see this playing out as this goes forward?
Well, in the past, earlier this year, I think actually, Trump did something similar where he talked about, you know, fully withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria and then eventually did an about face on that after a backlash from Republicans and also from, you know, those in his administration. And so I think it's possible that this may not end up being that much of a substantive difference in U.S. policy in the region. However, I think that this episode once again underscores, particularly for U.S. allies, that there is, you know, a bit of, I guess I'll say that there's a bit of difference in the U.S. policy than from what it's been in the past, and that there is some perhaps questions that they should be raising about how reliable the U.S. as an ally can be. And that's certainly been the criticism from Republicans so far.
What does this say about how the president conducts foreign policy when it comes to his interactions with other foreign leaders? I guess there's an understanding that this announcement came after conversations with Turkey's president. And of course, now the president is under rapidly growing scrutiny over his interactions with the leader of Ukraine. There's sort of this, mano a mano stance that the president seems to take time and time again.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of Trump's presidency. He has, going back to his time on the campaign trail, really built his brand around the idea that he's, you know, the guy who can make the deal. And he's the only guy, in his view, that can make the deal. And so I think that he is showing the implications of that. And he's executing that while in the White House, in the sense that he gets on the phone with Erdogan from Turkey and, you know, makes an agreement over the phone about perhaps even somewhat on the fly about what U.S. policy in Syria is going to be. Or he gets gets on the phone with Ukraine's president and, you know, essentially urges him, as we saw in the transcript, to launch an investigation of the Bidens. So Trump is really captaining his own ship here, keeping his own counsel, and that's something we've seen right along. But I think this week is showing a pretty dramatic, you know, multiple examples of what some of the implications of that might be.
Not just he might try to captain his own ship, there are going to be developments today on Capitol Hill with the U.S. ambassador to the European Union testifying before the impeachment investigation committees. What are we expecting today from Gordon Sondland?
So Gordon Sondland is someone whose name came up after the document dump that the House Democrats put out last week following their closed-door conversations with Kurt Volker, who was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine until he resigned in light of this impeachment scandal. And so I think that people are going to have – Sondland is a natural follow-up witness. And because, you know, he – some of the text messages that were released showed him talking about a deliverable from Ukraine, which presumably would be them launching an investigation into the Bidens. So I think certainly the questions that he's going to be asked are pretty clear. They're going to want to get to the bottom of what he knows and what he meant in some of those text messages. And to me, the question is how much of what he says today is going to be made public, similar to what we saw last week.
Because just quickly, the Sondland has a fairly close ties to the president, does he not?
Yes, he does. He's someone who was a campaign donor of the president's and, you know, is not a career diplomat, which is pretty common. I mean, that was very common in the Obama administration as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, he's someone that, you know, would be predisposed to be loyal to Trump. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to answer Congress's questions today.
All right, we'll be watching that closely. Thank you, as always, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Read more at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Bond traders locked in their Fed bets way before Jobs Day. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The most recent jobs report never had a shot at truly mattering to the bond market. In what was largely a status quo release, the unemployment rate hit a fresh 50-year low of 3.5%, but wages rose just 2.9% from a year earlier, falling well short of expectations. In the wake of the data, the Treasury market didn't seem to know what to do. That's because bond traders already had a wave of bad economic data hit their screens earlier in the week. A measure of U.S. manufacturing fell to the lowest level since June 2009, and a gauge of employment in U.S. services industries swung into contraction for the first time since 2010. So it comes as little surprise that the market-implied odds of a rate cut shot up to more than 80% from less than 50% a week earlier. Simply put, bond traders made up their minds that the central bank would have no choice but to cut interest rates this month. There's still time for central bankers to jolt the market in the other direction, but their time is running out. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers, you can read more at OPIN Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And again, a story we brought you just a few minutes ago, Nissan naming a new CEO, Makoto Uchida. That announcement just moments ago. And also, U.S. small business sentiment fell to near the lowest level of Donald Trump's presidency. The National Federation of Independent Businesses Optimism Index declining 1.3 points to 101.8 in September, the third drop in 4 months. S&P futures down about 17 points now. Dow futures down 162. NASDAQ futures down 43. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.53%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.43%. The euro 1.0988 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.